like to invite the following people to join me for lunch.
I think we should share an awesome blossom. What do you say? They are awesome.
Order!
Cheeseburger, please.
Get off, Napoleon. Make yourself a dang quesadilla.
And I'll have the number 8. That's a party platter. It serves 12 people. I know what I'm about, son.
This burrito is delicious, but it is filling.
Okay, I'll have the linguine, red sauce on the side. If the sauce does not come on the side, I will send it back.
Can I take your order?
It's time for the Lunch Rush. The latest and greatest in sports news. Here's Brady Hall.
More stuff coming out of Northwestern, Angel. And this time, it's on the volleyball side of things. A former Northwestern volleyball player filed a lawsuit today in Illinois claiming that the school and its athletic department were negligent in response to a hazing incident that occurred in the spring of 2021. This player, who filed her lawsuit anonymously, said she was injured while running sprints as a part of a punishment sanctioned by Coach Shane Davis, and that Davis enabled a culture of racism, bullying, harassment, hazing, and retaliation within Northwestern's volleyball program. Davis is listed as a defendant in the lawsuit, along with the school's two most recent presidents and three most recent athletic directors. This is just absolutely insane. Her lawyers just filed these multiple lawsuits on behalf of the football players last week, and now the volleyball players. They just fired Pat Fitzgerald after the hazing accusations. Again, Angel, here we go. What is going on at Northwestern? Is this just the worst of the worst sports atmospheres you could ever harbor here? Because you're getting more and more of these stories coming out, and it's not just football-focused anymore. Now you've got volleyball, which, strangely enough, when you start hearing about volleyball, it makes me believe even more that perhaps the football side has just been let to do this. Is this the way we do things at Northwestern? We believe in tough, ridiculous, over-the-top, unnecessary, borderline illegal love. That's what we're doing at Northwestern. University spokesman John Yates told ESPN that the incident predates current school president Michael Scheel and athletic director Derek Gragg, but each is taking it seriously. Yates said Northwestern's leaders have hired a firm to evaluate the school's methods of tracking accountability within the athletic department and detecting threats to the welfare of its athletes. Wow. This volleyball player in particular attended Northwestern from 19 through 2023. According to the lawsuit, she said she contracted COVID in February of 2021, and the coaches decided to punish her for breaking the team's COVID safety guidelines. She said she followed the guidelines. This story, we'll get into more of this a little bit later on in the program, but absolutely wild. You're starting to get more of that. Where there's smoke, perhaps, is there a lot of fire going on at Northwestern? The Kansas City Chiefs, all right, they're feeling good about their repeat efforts and chances and all that stuff. As long as you got Patrick Mahomes, no worries, right? How about defensive tackle Chris Jones, a big-time player for the Chiefs? He did not report for the start of Kansas City's training camp. And the sides are, according to Adam Schefter, far apart on reaching agreement on a new contract. Jones has 1 year left on the 4-year, $80 million contract that he signed in 2020, which made him the ninth highest paid defensive tackle in the league in terms of average salary. So that is a big time player for the Chiefs, and certainly a guy that can make his presence felt each and every week. However, this is par for the course. This time of year, you see a lot of big names that are waiting to see if they're going to get a big deal. But when you hear far apart, you wonder if they're going to be able to get a deal done there. Speaking of interesting territory as far as the NFL goes, as we're getting set for training camps starting across the land, you got the running backs still fighting the good fight, Angel. A lot of them got together. They took part in a Zoom call Saturday to discuss the depressed market for players at their position. Cleveland Browns running back Nick Chubb confirmed Sunday that he participated in the call, said Saquon Barkley, Derrick Henry, and Christian McCaffrey were in the meeting. Josh Jacobs also took part, according to ESPN's Jeremy Fowler. So Austin Eckler was the one who organized this. Are they organizing some kind of running back strike? Is that what this is ultimately about? Some solidarity in contracts or what? If Christian McCaffrey puts his money where his mouth is, I'll be amazed at this, because, you know, he's speaking, he's saying a lot, but he also got paid, unlike Austin Eckler and some of, you know, the other guys on their holdouts or waiting, Saquon Barkley and things like that. How far are we going with this, guys? You know, I just wonder, how far are we ultimately going to go with this running back, I don't know what we're calling it right now, gathering?
As long as there are available bodies to run the ball, this is going to go on. The fact that I can go get a guy off the street and he can give me 300 yards and a touchdown maybe and a couple catches, not in a game obviously, but he can give me some kind of production for cheap, I'm going to do that.
Yeah, well,
I'm not saying you're not talented. I'm not saying you wouldn't be valuable to my team, but you cost way too much money.
It doesn't sound like anything's coming of these meetings either.
No, it sounds like, you know, everyone's going to Zoom and complain about it.
Yeah, it's what it is.
And, you know, Christian's over here counting his money and just sitting in there.
Yeah. Chubb said that right now there's really nothing we can do. We're handcuffed with the situation. We're the only position that our production hurts us the most. If we go out there and run for 2,000 yards with so many carries, the next year they're going to say you're probably worn down. It's tough. It hurts us at the end of the day. Those are all the realities of the situation, though, aren't they? A receiver catches 90-plus balls a year for over 1,000 yards. I don't think the first thing on the top of your mind is, yeah, but has he got anything left in the tank? Unless he's an older receiver. But nobody's saying that. Derrick Henry, you know, the first few years in the league, we were still saying it, weren't we? We were saying, how long can this last? How long can he carry the ball 25-plus times per game? And then you get to 1,500 yards, 1,600 yards, 2,000 yards. Yes, absolutely, Chubb. I feel for you, man. Like, I'm a running back fan. I can't say it enough. I love a good run game. But the times have certainly changed. Even before this the most recent big-time changes in the league, we weren't seeing guys like Clinton Portis get a lot of carries per game. And what happened to Clinton Portis? Once you hit 30, it's over. So let's think about this. Average NFL rookie, running back, rookie, whatever, how old are they?
23.
So you play for 2 years. Now you're 25. Getting ready to be 26. You're still under your rookie contract. By the time your rookie contract is done, because it's a four-year minimum, right? Is what they do, four-year deal. You're typically, let's just say on average, you're 27, 28 years old.
How many injuries have you racked up in 4 years? Well, not serious ones, but, you know, hey, sprained an ankle in this game. And, oh, your knee got a little sore in this game. Oh, you actually, you know, you broke a finger, but you played through it. But you fumbled the ball because you can't hold the ball correctly.
We're already talking about our boy, Javonte Williams, man. I mean, he missed most of last year, a good chunk of last year. And that was only his second year.
Breece Hall for the Jets, he was coming on strong for that three-week stretch, and then he got hurt. And now the Jets are concerned if he can be back healthy or do they need to go sign a running back.
So Javonte Williams, for him, is fairly young right now. He's 23 years old now, and he played 2 years. But you're right. A lot of guys are anywhere from 21 to 23. But
for Javonte, in a normal case, this would be the year he's playing for a second contract. Now it's, oh, I need a second contract.
Yeah, he's got two. He's got this year. He's got this year and next year left. So, very much, you know, based on this year and next year, will determine whether the Broncos bring him back. You know, that's where it is. And I love your idea of saying let's put the minimum on there or whatever. It's a 2 year deal as a rookie. However, in Javonte Williams' case, he would have 1,000 yards his rookie year and then an injury riddled last year. So would you, if you're the Broncos, bring him back? So there's the issue with it.
And you add a bonus year.
Yeah.
And, you know, break glass in case of emergency. If your running back gets hurt in the season, then you can use this extra year on their deal.
It's just, Angel, we've been saying it for years, you know, the ground and pound. How much tread is left on the tires? How long will these guys last in the league? How long do they play college football? Those are all real conversations, and now you're seeing the market every single year really play out what we've all been talking about for the last 10-plus years. We've been talking about this for a lot longer than that.
Well, who's getting paid? It's your wide receivers, your quarterbacks, your offensive tackles, and then it's the defense. You're not seeing a lot of money spent on the middle offensive linemen. Those are usually your drafted guys. Your running backs are usually drafted guys or free agents. Your receivers are big-name trades or, you know, a drafted guy. And then your defense, that's where a lot of your money's going outside of the quarterback.
Let's just face it. Just be logical about this. Look at the positions on the football field. Yes, offensive linemen get concussions a lot, and they're going at it. But the impact hits that a running back is taking on a daily or on a weekly basis is by far more than anybody else in the league.
There's a difference between getting hit by a brick wall and running into a brick wall.
And that's what these guys are doing nonstop, which I applaud them for. It's part of the reason I love the run game so much. These tough, you know, warrior mentality type running football players. But at the end of the day, you get more wear and tear on your body than anybody else in the league.
It seems there's a frustration between the players and the owners. Is there any, you know, could this create a strife between a running back and his quarterback? If his quarterback signed a big contract and say, hey, I can't get money because you took $50 million a year. Not
all that stuff, sure. You know, it's not just the owners.
That created a rift on the team. It's, hey, we got a Super Bowl team, but you're not here in training camp. Where are you at? Do you want to compete with us or not?
That's why Le'Veon Bell saying he was Flick or whatever in A Bug's Life, he had to take all the crap from the owners, which were the Grasshoppers. Like, yeah, but the Grasshoppers are hooking up other players. So don't just blame them. I mean, Patrick Mahomes, all these great quarterbacks earn the money. I get it. They sign the contracts, though. In doing so, they take money away from you instead of saying, hey, I want – now Mahomes does restructure and Brady restructures, and there are guys that do that.
They lost Tyreek Hill because they didn't have enough money.
Didn't have enough money, sure. Yeah, it is – you can't just blame the owners for this. It's easy. It would be just as easy
for a
quarterback
to say –
they're the
ones that sign the checks, but who's asking for the checks?
Yeah, who's asking for it? Saying, if you don't pay me this, I'm going to be gone. And as an owner, I'm going after my quarterback more than anybody else on the team. There's nobody else as valuable. A tier two quarterback, Angel, is more valuable than anybody else in the NFL outside of tier one quarterbacks. That's the situation. A Jimmy Garoppolo is more valuable than most starting running backs in the league, just because we are quarterback starved. We have to have, at the bare minimum, we have to have an average to good quarterback. If we can have a great one, amazing, but we cannot have a bad one, and we can't have an average to leaning towards bad. We just can't. You won't win that way unless you're San Francisco. That's the only team that's really proven that they can consistently win with not necessarily a marquee type quarterback. So what do you do here? There's not a lot. Chubb's probably right. You're handcuffed at this point, because if the market is telling you that the running game is just not valuable, it's not that it's not valuable. It's just that
you can get the same value from two players for cheap.
We see it day in and day out, man. We see new guys emerge, and then we see those guys that have emerged. Oh, they disappear after 2 years. That's what we're seeing.
The turnover on running backs is just at a higher rate than other positions.
No question about it.
That's not on purpose. It's not, you know, we're doing it to stiff the running backs. It's because that's the way the game's gone.
Well, how many of these running backs, like these stud running backs, have been doing it at a very high level for multiple years? Like, I'm talking 3 or 4 years of just high-level stuff that you're putting out.
Henry and Chubb.
That's about it, isn't it? I mean, Josh Jacobs had a really good year last year. Obviously, he was the stud, but...
but that happens. You have a big year, you get a contract, and then nothing else happens.
Barkley had, what did we say, 2 years of 1,000 and 2 years of being hurt, mostly. I mean, that's kind of what his four-year has told us. Dalvin Cook was pretty damn consistent, but...
he's had a shoulder injury in the last 3 years.
And Christian McCaffrey's had a lot of injuries, yet still getting money. Aaron Jones is a good running back, but... again, what's the body of work like? And then, yes, Nick Chubb is 100% right. if they have had a significant body of work over the last 5 years, the question now becomes at the table, does he have anything left? Because we got it all out of him the last year. Maybe the injury to Javonte Williams actually will help him because he's, you know, he got a year off. Not that it was healthy. He was rehabbing and everything. But there is a big deal going on in the NFL between these running backs, but I just don't see that you're going to be able to do anything about it. Because this is where the market is leaning. You're right. Philip Lindsay did just as much as Melvin Gordon and Javonte Williams in 2 years. And you got him undrafted. You paid him virtually nothing compared to what these other contracts look like. You're just not paying running backs the way you used to. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. And the proof continues to be in that pudding. Now, if you're going to catch the ball out of the backfield at a high clip, then we're talking. Now we've got something to chat about. Let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 at 1310 KFK.
The Joker gets the last laugh. The Nuggets are the champs. Celebrate with us on KFKA.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the show, our game beverage of the week. It's not a beer this week, and I think we're kind of mixing it up now. So we're going to call it our game beverage of the week. This one's from Boozy Beverages, 5% ABV with electrolytes, just 100 calories, and there's a lemonade variety pack, 12 classic, blueberry, pink, mango, iced tea pack, 12 there, so with a hint of lemon. So these, I mean, it's kind of a fruity type drink, man. A lot of people are loving this stuff, and it's perfect for the summer months. Boozy Beverages, available at On the Rocks Liquor. Make your next celebration on the rocks. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. Our tight-knit brewing poll question of the day: who's winning more games in 2023, the Colorado Buffaloes or the Colorado State Rams? Go vote at thewholeshow.com. And as we can see, it's looking like the Rams are running away with this one. And I won't just say that it's because we have Rams listeners. I think logically that's the way it looks. That's the way I feel. 68% of the hooligans are saying the Rams. And I would agree with that just because of the schedule for Colorado. And I don't know, man. The more we talk the last couple of weeks, we've really been diving into more Buff stuff, Angel. It just feels like that schedule is going to be a lot to overcome. You know, that doesn't mean I'm out on primetime. Doesn't mean I'm out on Shador and this whole new world that we're living with Boulder. It just means that it's going to be a lot right now. And conventionally, my brain's still telling me that the rules do uphold. You know, a first-year coach at this level, a bunch of new faces in a Power 5 conference, albeit it's the Pac-12. It's just telling me that the old rules still apply. That you can't have a new guy come in and change it overnight, even though the roster was pretty much changed overnight. But maybe we're going to be way off, and maybe Deion Sanders proves us all wrong and tells us that, yeah, actually, if you get a big enough name and a big enough pull, you know, the first day you arrive on campus, you can make instant changes to your program.
Be interested to see, because with CU and all the attention about with Prime and the players and the transfers and all of that, every game that they play is going to have attention on it. Whether they're 0-1 or they're 10-0, they're going to have attention on them because it's Prime, because it's the Buffs.
Yeah.
So you could be 0-4, 0-5. You go into that USC game, they're not going to look at you like you're 0-5. You're going to be presented as, oh, this new style Buffs team. You expect them to compete at this. So there's not going to be any game where it's the pressure's just off and you can just go play.
Yeah, no, it's going to be on them all year. And if it's a train wreck, then the pressure will be on them in a bad way in the next offseason as far as getting back on the right track. So I just don't know if the expectations will ever meet what we thought they were going. You know, primetime set us up that way.
Well, I mean, what is the real expectation? Is it what Prime's telling you? Is it what the players are telling you? Is it what the boosters and the fans are telling you?
Is it what DraftKings is telling you?
Right.
It's probably, I'm telling you, man, the expectations for the Buffs should probably be four wins.
On the high end.
if you lose three, or if you win three, then you're not happy, but you're making progress. I hate to say that because I want it to be amazing for everybody involved. I am one of those rare fans. It's like, root for them all to win until they play each other, and then you pick out who you like. I know they're diehard Rams fans. They're diehard Buffs fans, and I get it. Everybody was mad at me last week because of that, but my ultimate goal is to have ratings for a show. So when we talk about good teams and all that stuff, that's where it is. Okay, so Angel, I was thinking about this the other day. You and I have talked about this, and I said, hey, you know, I don't even know, like, a Nick Saban comes over to see you and gets the press coverage that a primetime has, just because he's primetime. Is there anybody out there in the sports world, in the football world, that's, you know, been a player or a big-time name that you would say could match the amount of hype that primetime is bringing to see you? Is there anybody? Is it Peyton Manning? Is there anybody out there like this that's in the media that played for a while, maybe even coached? I mean, come on, there's nobody, right? Peyton Manning would probably be the closest thing to it. Tim Tebow?
In Denton, like Colorado, or just everywhere?
Anywhere. A random guy quits media, goes to coach, starts bringing up a Jackson State-type team, and next thing you know, 3 years later, he's the biggest thing since sliced bread. Is that Peyton? Is that Tim Tebow? I mean, there's just not a lot of those guys. It's not Eli.
No, I mean, a lot of those guys are in media because they don't want to be in football anymore. So, I mean, it's very rare what Prime has been doing. So, yeah, and it's I try to look at him as Deion Sanders, the coach, and not Primetime because I never knew him as Primetime. But that legacy of what he did in the NFL and that character and that persona, it follows him wherever he goes. It followed him at Jackson State, and he embraced it there. And now you're trying to bring that same attitude to the Power 5 and CU, and you're seeing some, you know, acceptance of it, but there's also some pushback of it, and there's also, I don't know about this. This could go really good. This could go really bad. I'm just going to sit back and watch.
Yeah, you're right. There are those naysayers, too. There are, you know, our boy Brian Gary was on Friday saying how much he can't stand the persona that is Primetime. Says he appreciates his ability and everything, but can't stand the persona. And that's true, too. You're either going to have people that love him or probably hate him, can't stand him, maybe. The thing with Manning is you wouldn't get the opposite, right? You would just get everybody would love Peyton Manning. He wouldn't come out and say anything controversial. Mm-hmm. He wouldn't say anything like, I'm bringing Louie with me. He'd come in. He'd probably pack a punch, too, with his own documentary team and all that stuff. But he wouldn't do the things that Primetime has done to make him this gigantic, larger-than-life figure.
Yeah, and then, you know, we talked about it when they were getting the recruits, but how much is it that these recruits are going to see you because they like the school, they like Boulder, they like, you know, Colorado, and they want to get an education here? Or is it, hey, Prime's there and there's cameras on him, I'm going to try to get in the background there.
When Primetime first came to Jackson State, it was pretty big news, right? That was still pretty big. Not like what it is with Boulder, but still pretty big news, right?
Yeah, it was Deion Sanders is coaching college football. It's awesome.
And that was a big deal. I'm just trying to think, like, if Peyton Manning announces, because when Ed McCaffrey's not even close to the name that these guys are, if it were a Peyton Manning that announced he was coming to UNC, would that have been as big a news as Deion Sanders going to Jackson State? Not quite. For us locally, statewide, yeah, best thing in the world. Nationally, not quite what Deion Sanders did. 33 minutes after the hour, let's jump out quickly here and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Kelly Lyle with the Fort Collins, Colorado, and your CSU Insider on The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
It's an interesting conversation. You brought up Randy Moss. That one, like, basically my tweet, I just tweeted it out. Is there anyone on the same popularity scale or level that Deion Sanders is on? That could come into college football and flip it upside down with their amount of popularity. Is it Peyton Manning? Is it Randy Moss? You brought up like a Richard Sherman. Sherman was really good, and
he's very smart.
Yeah, he's very smart. He's a Hall of Famer. He will be, right?
Probably.
But was he prime time? Moss is more in the prime time. Like, he almost revolutionized the position.
Mm-hmm. When I hear prime time, I hear the personality and the character of prime time. And that drew me to Richard Sherman just because of, you know, his famous interview with Aaron Andrews and his, you know, passion for – I remember his thing on the Broncos last year, just run the ball.
Yeah.
He was freaking out on air about running the ball.
Yeah.
But he's got that passion, I think. And
man, I just don't know if he's at that level.
Mm-hmm.
Peyton's at that level popularity-wise, but he doesn't have the
– Are you saying, like, jumped immediately into Power 5 or just –
No, just kind of do what Deion Sanders kind of did.
Okay.
Just jump in. You're so popular that you grew a team there quickly. Because that's what he did at Jackson State. He walks in the door, and it's like, Deion Sanders is our coach now. More people want to come there and play. 405 says Tom Brady would bring some hype.
Detractors, too, I think.
Just like primetime.
Well, Tom's got to get in the media first.
Well, that's the thing. Peyton and Moss have both been in the media now.
Mm-hmm.
Peyton's doing it a different way. Moss is doing it kind of the primetime way. Randy Moss was a great wide receiver. He's arguably one of the best. Now, Rice is going to get that, but he's arguably one of the best ever. Primetime is arguably one of the best corners ever. You could make a case that he's not, but he's close. But it was what he did with his career, his media career and persona and all that stuff that made it so easy for him to make that jump into college sports, because college sports is being a salesman at the end of the day. And so, Angel, I ask you, is Ed Lamb a salesman? Is Ed Lamb, the UNC head coach for the Bears, a salesman? Is he going to be good at really pitching this program and growing it to where we want it to be? Big Sky Media Days have been going on the last couple of days, yesterday and today. Here is the brand new UNC head coach of the Bears, Ed Lamb.
I know you're not new to the Big Sky, but being the leader of Northern Colorado, how's it been?
I really hadn't realized how much I missed being the head coach, and so it's really been a dream come true all over again. You know, I aspired to be a head coach many years ago, and don't regret any of my decisions and my time at BYU, but I'm having so much fun right now with the boys at Northern Colorado, and family transition was really smooth. Everything's going well.
What are some of those things that you missed most that you didn't realize before?
I think having an overall impact on the whole team. You know, as a position coach, even a coordinator, I think you have fewer relationships. They're a little closer. And, you know, I like having those close relationships too, but I really missed being able to, you know, move throughout the whole team. I feel like that I had the ability to talk to each player on the team, the ability to influence the success of each player on the team, every coach, their families. It's a responsibility that I take really seriously and cherish it, and it's a lot of fun for me.
There's Ed Lamb, UNC Bears head football coach, talking about, you know, just how much he missed being a head coach, how much he missed this part of it and having that impact on everything, not just a position coach or a certain territory or whatever. He's all in on this. And my first impressions of Ed Lamb, you know, when we did the press conference, when he was announced as the head coach, he was pretty much what you're seeing is what you're going to get. He's a very even-keel guy. You could sit and have a conversation with you. He's not going to fill your head full of stories of success. He's not going to he's not going to complain about the struggles that they might go through at UNC. He's not going to do any of that stuff, man. He just is, what you see is what you get. That you can't say that a lot of guys.
No, he practices what he preaches, and he does the work. He wasn't lying to us when he said he wants to do the workouts with the guys, and I love that he wants to be in every conversation and have a relationship with every player, because we know that's something they haven't had in the past. And just, I think just from a player standpoint, having a coach that's so open like that and so, you know, just passionate about just caring about you, I think is so important, and it's going to allow not just the team to come together, but the leaders like Sermon and Hogue and Napke, they're going to feed off that energy as well and, you know, play off of that and be the leaders in the locker room as well.
I mean, you talk about the working out with the players. Like, that's not just stuff he says or randomly he goes and works out with them and calls it that. We were at that golf tournament, the Greeley Chamber golf tournament thing on Monday, last Monday with the Chamber. said that already. But one of the UNC guys, one of my friends out there, was telling us, like, yeah, he golfed in that pro golf thing with Tanner 2 weeks ago or whatever. And he's like, yeah, he was happy to go do it to represent UNC. But also in his brain, that was a workout missed by him. He missed a workout. So now how am I going to tell my players if Billy misses one workout because he got sick or his grandma's in town or whatever? I can't really come down on him because I missed a workout to go golf. Now he missed a workout for a different reason, but why is his reason better than mine? Like, Ed Lamb is bothered by that, dude.
Oh, it creates a culture of accountability, and I think that's something UNC has maybe lacked for a while with the football program.
Complete opposite from last Ed.
Right. I think you're going to see a team that's going to have fun playing football again. It's not just, hey, we're just out here on a hot Saturday and just get this over with. They're going to have fun playing. They're going to play with some pride with that UNC logo on their chest and, you know, excited for what the future of this program could be. And the seniors like Hogue and Napke, they're the ones that are going to set the foundation for what they leave behind at UNC, and hopefully they leave it better than they found it.
How good do you think they're really going to be this year?
Honestly, I'm looking at 3 or 4 wins, possibly a fifth.
It's realistic.
But I expect them to compete in every game.
Yeah, I think if you get out of this first year and you can win 4 or 5 games, but you're in every game, you know, for the most part, you're not getting blown out, you're not having any crazy side stories going on, then I think you would feel pretty good about your situation. Now, is Jacob Sermon, he's got 1 year, this is his last year, is that right? Or does he have 2?
I think so.
The bummer of that is I really want it to be a good year because I think Jacob Sermon is going to be a really good quarterback, and I just really hope they can take advantage of that. You know? I just don't know. Luke texting in 4 wins.
Is that a question?
No, he says he's on the sauce. You're on the sauce. For 4 wins?
For 4 wins?
4 wins?
I know it's bold, but
I don't think 4 wins is bold or on the sauce. I mean,
you know, I'm not going to get on this mic and say they're going to not win any single game. That's just
Yeah, but
that's
you've
not
done
me.
It right now, and we know that
but
you're
But I
saying
can be realistic and say
five.
I expect them to win 4, maybe 5. But the team itself, I expect them to compete and play hard, and that sounds so like the bare minimum and a cliche. Like, yeah, they're supposed to play hard, but there's something about playing hard and then playing hard with pride, and I think that's really what Ed Lamb is trying to instill in this program.
Well, I mean, there's something to be said for gaining momentum toward the end of the season. Mm-hmm. CSU last year did look like they were getting a little bit better once they got into conference play. You know, they were getting freaking blown out every single game at the beginning, and it was ugly. Dude, they were right there with the Buffs as far as the worst team in the country. But then once they got into conference play, they won a couple games. They were competitive in a couple games. And then at least you walked away going, okay, get the offensive line fixed, and maybe you can double the wins from last year. CSU won 3. I think a lot of people are hopeful they'll win right around 6 or 7. So this year for UNC is about establishing a culture, because Ernest Collins Jr. was there for 475 years, and whether you could say it was a good culture, bad culture, whatever, it wasn't working. It just wasn't working. And the way UNC is kind of wired at times is, you know what, we're not going to be a great football team tomorrow, so let's just let Ernest Collins Jr. stay. He's a good dude. You have good guys that get good grades. Let's just focus on other things. And then finally it came down to it where it was time to move on. We know that Ed McCaffrey was not the hire. I've said this a million times, and I don't know if I agree with it anymore, where I say I would have made this decision over and over again knowing it resulted this way with Ed, because it did pack a punch for you. You had people in the state talking about you. In fact, one person in Denver media got it so confused that Ed was going to UNC, he promoted that he was going to the University of North Carolina instead of the University of Northern Colorado, because nobody believed that it was happening. Would you do it again if you could have, like, knowing now what we know, would you go back and still hire Ed McCaffrey?
I wouldn't.
I used to say I would. Now I don't know, because honestly, I'm seeing what Ed Lamb is about, and I'm like, that's what it's about. That's who should be coaching the UNC Bears.
And not to say that Ed Lamb comes around every once in a while. There's a lot of coaches out there like Ed Lamb. And I mean that in the most high praise, because you do not want to coach like Ed McCaffrey. As a coach, for your college football team, he was not good at it. Ed Lamb is a good coach.
And that's not to say Ed McCaffrey couldn't have got better at it.
He didn't approach it.
He just came from the high school college ranks, and he surrounded himself with a bunch of his old college or high school guys. You know, he didn't bring it. He had one guy with Baldwin that was had a college experience, and that guy didn't even last. I mean, they had their COVID year, and then they were getting ready for training camp and all that stuff, and he was gone before that started, or before the spring game, I think. So you're right. I agree with you. You're not saying necessarily that Ed Lamb's growing trees, but
if you can get one of those off the trees, you feel good about yourself. And if you could go back 2.5 years, I would have hired Ed Lamb then. Obviously, couldn't have, but I would have hired Ed Lamb.
My big thing was hire Marty English. That's where I was, because he wants the job. He's got a history with the Bears. He's a college football coach. You know, he's good at what he does. Well, he's all right at what he does. And that's where I was kind of leaning. But then you go with Ed, and it's like, oh, the name. First off, you get blinded by the name. And then, obviously, we know what happened the next couple of seasons. I don't know where I am with that anymore, if I'd go back and make the same decision, because it did pack a punch as far as marketing for UNC, something that they'd never seen before, ever. I mean, I'm telling you, man, when the news got out that we were hiring for the new voice of the Bears, it was hundreds of emails to the station wanting to broadcast games that Ed McCaffrey was doing. Big names, too. 12:48 the time. Let's take a quick break. We'll wrap up hour number two. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hear Preps Talk and Coach Speak with Coach Bruce Dick, the fourth winningest coach in Colorado boys basketball history. Weekdays from 10 to 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Clay Millen, quarterback for the Green and Gold, and you're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
All right, I tweeted this out. Help me answer this, Angel. I said, is there anyone on the same popularity level as primetime? Like, who else could enter the world of coaching and flip it upside down? Manning, Moss, whatever? Mike retweeting it, saying, hey, or whatever, Xing it. Popular or known? Think there is a difference. He was very polarizing as a player, and even more so now as a coach. Isn't popular and known the same thing? In this situation, in this case, popular or known? I mean,
I know Terry Bradshaw, but I don't consider him popular.
So I'm saying, you know, so my question stands. I'm asking popularity. I'm not asking if they're known, the popularity thing. Is there anybody that comes to mind, like primetime, that could do what he has done, who's created this almost alter ego type thing? I mean, he almost has. I don't know if he would even agree with that, because he would probably say primetime is Sanders. Sanders is primetime.
I don't think you're going to find a person that's exactly like that. I could see a guy that could approach it in a similar way, like Michael Strahan just popped in my head.
Not at the same level.
Well, I mean, like I said, I don't think anyone's going to be a prime, but could someone approach it in the same way, jump out of the media into the football, try to do the whole personality thing?
Primetime was just, he was like Muhammad Ali, without the political side, of the NFL. I mean, he talked a big game. He celebrated his victories in a big way. He trash-talked. He did two sports. He was great at both of them. And then when he retired, he did the same thing in the media. Nobody else is like this really show me type guy. Peyton Manning could do a talk show, but he would just be Peyton Manning. A guy that you're like, I could have a beer with that guy. That's not always like a big time advertising campaign. You know, hey, come have a beer with Peyton. Well, you can't. You're too young. Like that would be Peyton Manning. That's Peyton Manning's big thing, is like, oh, I like that guy. He's cool. I could have a beer with him. Primetime's the guy that's like, everybody's like, I want to look at the style. That guy walks into a room and it just oozes style. And he's got all the backing on the playing side as well as the media side, too. But, yeah, I get where you're going. Like, Michael Strahan's very popular because he does a lot of different shows, but he's still Michael Strahan. He's still the same guy. Primetime even admits, like, if you watch his 30 for 30 and stuff, he created this larger-than-life persona that he could use well after his playing days. And not just Peyton Manning being Peyton Manning retired. The only difference between Peyton Manning playing and Peyton Manning not playing is that he's officially retired. Like, that's it. They're the same guy. He's a little funnier now because we see him more in that world, but that's who he was. Anybody that knows the guy will tell you that's who he was. We saw that for years. Primetime said, I'm creating this character that I'm going to be able to use for marketing and branding and who knows what well into my next chapter. And it just so happened, you know, it was football and baseball and then media and then this. I mean, it didn't work in the singing side, though. He tried to sing. Did you ever hear a song? Yeah, go listen to it, Angel. It's pretty good. You might like that. I just don't know if there's anybody quite there that has the secondary persona that Primetime created while he played. First Advantage text line 888-530-0043. And you know, you bring up Tom Brady, but again, that's just Tom Brady. Is it like you could see if Tom Brady did an opening speech instead of like how Dion was like, I'm bringing Louis with me, oh, we come and all that stuff. Tom's tried to do those things like, we're still here, we're still, like, it sounded kind of awkward. It kind of worked, though, but it wasn't smooth. It wasn't smooth like prime times. All right, in the final hour of the program, let's take a look at the AFC West. What are some of the biggest question marks surrounding the Kansas City Chiefs and the Los Angeles Chargers and whatever? Okay, I guess we'll take a break. We'll be right back.